It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Francie. On this corner of the internet, we talk about electrification of our transportation system. Growing up, I thought we would have flying cars. Not so much. The airplanes is really the closest I've ever gotten. But electric cars do sometimes feel like spaceships, especially if they're trying to drive themselves, along with the very modern designs. Today, I have invited Kyle and Andreas to talk about something that a lot of people have been trying out lately, and that is version 12 of the full self-driving software from Tesla. Let's dive in. Let's see if it's really driving itself and what their experience has been like. So, Andreas, welcome to the Out of Spec podcast. Thank you for joining me and Kyle today.
Thank you. Yeah, happy to join here.
Yes, audience listeners, you might recognize Andreas from the electric vehicle truck race from Florida to California, where you chugged along in the Ford F-150 Lightning truck with Dave and Jordan, and definitely tune in to that three-parter series for that. And also Andreas will be featured in another podcast recounting their experience on that 50-hour trip coast to coast.
Yeah.
But typically you're not in a Lightning. What do you drive, Andreas?
I do drive a Tesla Model 3 2020 Canadian built with FSD hardware.
It wasn't built in Canada.
It's a Canadian build, not that it was built in Canada. Okay.
Canadian. So it's really funny Canadian. Because Andreas can never turn his headlights off.
Yeah. Even with the, can I say this, sexy buttons? I tried it, but it would turn on the high beams at some point. It was like, it confused. I haven't tried it in Gen 2 yet, but
So instead of less lights, more lights.
Exactly, yeah. And it looks so much cooler with them turned off, right? So whenever I see a Model 3, I'm like, I wish mine looked like that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great car, and you love it. You've kind of been a fan of Tesla and electric vehicles for a while now, right? When did you first get an EV?
I got it in September 2020, so it's coming up to 4 years of ownership now. Ready to go get an upgrade at some point, maybe the Highland. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do love it. I drove it across Canada multiple times within the States. I have 55,000 miles on it right now. Never ran out of battery, no issues. I loved the thing. Yeah, Model 3, just amazing.
So then you probably were excited to just even have more of an upgrade with the FSD. So, of course, there's been like the FSD beta versions, and then there's this version 12 that was, you know, hyped up to be this, okay, the car's going to be, this version is going to be incredible. The car's going to be capable of doing even more driving, self-driving than it has before.
But it's the SAE level of self-driving has not changed. It's still level 2 driver assistance. You still have to pay attention, keep your hands on the wheel, It's not, none of this stuff is self-driving, but
no,
that's probably the only time I'll be negative in this podcast about Tesla's FSD software, because that's pretty unusual.
Well, I don't even know if that's really negative or it's just factual, right? And those details are important. And we had Chris, also known as Dirty Tesla, onto the podcast a few months back now. And he gave a great overview of the timeline of FSD from the beginning of the program to now, recent history. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, I will link it in the show notes. I thought it was a pretty good walkthrough there of his experience and what everyone's expecting with this update that is now in the hands of folks. But no, it is not autonomous driving, right? But Andreas, you and Kyle have had the experience with previous versions and now this one. When did you get the update, Andreas?
So I did get it on Sunday afternoon as we were out off-roading the trucks. I got back to Model 3 and bing, there finally was the orange arrow. I've been waiting for this update for 4 weeks, yeah, honestly. So I was very excited.
Yeah.
And then Kyle, I think you got it just a few hours later, right? Or you, maybe the same time when you got home, right? So yeah, I got it on Easter Sunday, yes. Easter Sunday afternoon, so 3 days ago, basically, yeah.
Okay, and what do you think? Yeah. Like, off the bat, first impressions, what's the words you would use?
So I was very looking forward to this update because I've seen a lot like on YouTube, right? Like I follow the usual FSD YouTubers, Chris Dirty Tesla, AI Driver, Chuck Hook, Holmars, Omar. And yeah, I love watching their content and I was so hyped up. But then I tried it out myself and I was a little underwhelmed. The first drive was good, but I think the very first drive, you're always a little bit biased. You're like, oh yeah, it's going to be so good. And then, oh my God, I did that right. And yeah, so the first drive was okay. It drove me home like 10 miles with zero and disengagements and one intervention. I was just pushing the accelerator in a roundabout because I didn't want to go too slowly. You know, that's just me because I want to blend in, how Kyle likes to say it. And so that was impressive. But then the next morning I tried it again and I noticed multiple things that were annoying and new behavior, which in my opinion was worse behavior. If you want me to go into detail, like examples, what I disliked. Okay.
Please do.
So overall it feels more confident, right? It's definitely has improved, but two things I noticed is it slows down too aggressively when coming up to red lights or if there's a traffic in front, right? So if you're coming up on a red light and there's no car in front of you, there's two ways. You either maximize regen, right, to like just let off the accelerator to not brake at all. That's just us EV drivers, right? Or like the more common way to approach a stop light is to, you know, slow down gradually and then like basically decrease your speed linearly, right? So, and I noticed V12 slows down early and then creeps up to the red light. And this is very uncomfortable, especially if there's cars behind you, because you know the driver behind you, right? That's, again, me probably overthinking everything. But I just don't want to drive like that, right? And I noticed it multiple times. Same if there is a car in front of me. Like yesterday, I was coming up to a right on red, and the car in front of me was doing a right on red as well. But my car slowed down, like, I don't know, 30 feet ahead. Like there was such a big gap between my car and the guy in front of me, and the guy behind me was like, why are you going so slowly? So this is really something I dislike about V12. Same with merging. It puts on turn signals. Let's say you want to merge from like the right lane to the left lane, right? It put on a turn signal despite there being seven cars blocking me from merging, basically. Like, why would you put in a turn signal? Right? You're just confusing the other drivers. Automatic speed offset feature, still 100% sure if I like it or not. It's sometimes it goes too slowly. So what that does, it just the car drives what it thinks is natural, depending on the road it's on. A lot of people love it. I turn it off, to be honest. So, yeah, not a huge fan. And and one unprotected left turn. It was clearly going into oncoming traffic. I was turning into Costco and they were coming on with like 50 miles an hour, right? And then the car just started moving. I was like, oh no. So it took over and freaked the other driver out, probably, right? So yeah. So not a lot of good experiences. Kyle, I think, had the opposite experience.
So normally our conversations go, Andreas is telling me how great FSD is and how the, you know, a zero disengagement drive. And I'm like, well, I don't know what constitutes a successful drive on FSD because, you know, you I can let this thing have zero disengagements and it'll get me there, but it might crash 30 times or it might cause other people to have accidents. I'm not sure a disengagement or whatever is a good measure of a successful drive. I've always said this, and I think a lot of hardcore FSD beta testers say, like, a successful drive is counted when the airbags didn't pop. Wow, no one died. This was successful. But how many people did you piss off on your way to your destination using this software? And that's the thing that's always bugged me. And normally it's me and Andreas arguing about this, and he's Mr. FSD. And I'm like, you know, it just sucks. It's so annoying to use. It's jerky. It doesn't, you know, get me to where I need to go as quickly as I just drive myself. And I'd rather, you know, I love autopilot for the highway. I just hate using it around the city. And then Andreas and I actually tried FSD version 12 in Colton's car for the first time. This was on version 12.3.2.1. And I was truly blown away. We started in Andreas's car on FSD 11 point whatever. And it was a night and day difference between 11 and 12, just in the smoothness of operation. When it did mess up, it messed up so much better. It's like, oh, I'm in the middle of two lanes because it just split. Let me not just go full send into another lane. I'll just, and I'll make it over to where I need to go. It was just so much better. And it's quick, I thought, accelerates up to speed, maybe even too fast sometimes. And overall, though, I was like, okay, this is whatever the base software is, has convinced me. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Then I got it on my Model 3, 12.3.3, and I've been driving for the last two or three days using the FSD beta. And no question, this is not a self-driving system. You still have to monitor. You still have to supervise it. You still have to take over when it messes up. There's no question. But it is doing some incredible things around town. It is pulling out onto roads nicely. It's taking different routes every time, even though the navigation says to do something. Sometimes FSD just ignores that and does its own thing just so it can maintain progress. And there's just a few things that it's doing that I was just blown away with, which it could tell that a turning lane was about to get filled up and come into the main line of traffic where I'd have to stop and get stuck. But it made a lane change before they even stopped in front of me. They were just slowing down to make a new lane, and it was like, oh, let me just go around that. So here I am, Mr. FSD hater. I don't want to say hater, but I've always been like, FSD's cool, but it's not beneficial to me at all. And here I am saying, I'm only driving my Model 3 now because this is so much more interesting to get around town. And it's quick, it's smooth. I hate to say it because it's cliche, but it feels human-like. It feels like it's making rational decisions. I can at least understand why it's wanting to do certain things. And it's not perfect, but I see the light, and I'm almost kind of sold on this whole thing.
These are very stark contrasts and experiences, but I do want to talk about this human-like aspect.
I just think it was so amazing that I called you to be like, this is the future, you know, Tesla to the moon. I don't own any Tesla stock, but like, I'm like this, I feel, you know, I told you, I feel like the freaking, you know, FSD content creators that are always pumping FSD. And I'm like, I get it. I had I totally see the light here. And then you're like, oh, well, I don't think it's that good. And I'm going back through all of the drives because I've probably done over 100 miles now using this system. And that's mostly city driving. And I'm like, yeah, I take over. It's not perfect. It sometimes turns right before it should, or gets into the turning lane for the turn before where I have to turn. Like, it definitely does some weird stuff, but I'm starting to understand its logic and use it. And I forced myself to use FSD 11 a lot on my Model S. Like, I was like, I don't know how people use this. It's terrible. And you were like, it's good. And I was like, I feel like such an idiot on the road. It's doing everything wrong. I was like, I really need tinted windows. And here now it's just awesome. I think it's so good.
Maybe I should add, like, I was like using it from a technology standpoint, right? Like, I just love having access to this cutting edge technology. It didn't, you know, improve my drives. Of course, it did awkward things. And again, I feel I'm so self-conscious when even when it turns on a blinker, me going straight, I'm like, oh my God, people actually think I'm an idiot. So I never thought it was like amazing, right? But I still like to use it because it's like, I'm a tech guy, right? So it was super.
Yeah.
I just loved using it and see and push it.
Yeah.
One more thing, one more comment about what my experience may have. What's the word? Shaded a little bit. I used it on the I-25, right? Interstate. It turns out it's still using the old stack, right? So Interstate is still using basically V11 stack, and it was behaving poorly there. And I think this may have, you know, changed my view a little bit on V12, even though it's unfair, right? Because it's not V12 on the interstate. But I think this, also influenced my view on V12 a little bit. Even though
interesting. So I only drove on the highway for like 6 miles. I did two exits with it. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that my automatic speed set thing, where it chooses whatever speed it wants to go, went away. And it went to up to 85. At first it showed 87 and then quickly corrected itself to 85. Okay. And it's interesting how you say that, at least in Broomfield, it goes too slow sometimes, because there has not been a situation using that option here in Fort Collins that I have felt that it's gone. I always feel that it's going slightly too fast. Like it's just ripping everywhere. It's like 10 over the speed limit, 9 over the speed limit, wherever I go. And it's just boogieing on all the roads. But again, I'm going from the office back to home to the office. I did 5 round trips from the office back to my house. They're like, it's like 3.6 miles or something like that. Just in one day. This was a couple days ago. And it took a different route every time. And it was full send, boogieing, you know, making its way through traffic. I was like, this is how I drive. This is great. So I wonder if you just have worse Tesla drivers in Broomfield than we have in Fort Collins, because it is trained off of vehicle data, I guess, but it's probably not location specific. It's more situational specific.
Exactly, yeah.
But on the highway, I agree. It was a little bit weird. It definitely like gets in the wrong lane. Like it wanted to go in the left lane and it was about to cut someone off. And I'm like, no, don't do that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I can't wait for the highways to get updated. It also was in the turning lane for the exit before that I was supposed to take. So it merged over, thinking that this was the exit lane, and it wasn't. And then at the last second, it decided, oh, crap, I need to get back on the highway. And it was almost took out like 2 cars. So I had to take over and do whatever. but I already knew that that wasn't FSD 12. By the time I got on the highway, because I had talked to Andreas about it. So I was just not even evaluating any of this. I'm like, oh, this will change at some point. But in the city, call me a believer now. I'm not saying it's safer than a human driver. I'm not saying it's more efficient than if I drive myself. I'm just saying I finally see myself getting interested in this technology enough to actually want to use it and play around with it.
I should come up to Fort Collins and try it out there, honestly.
Yeah, you should. No, that's good. You should do that and try it out in the same roads and see if it affects it. And how many miles have you done so far, do you think, Andreas, with the new software?
Actually, not that much. Maybe
we can pack some more on there.
Yeah, maybe 50 miles, I would say. Yeah.
Let's double it. Get you up to Fort Collins. But I am thinking, different impressions for sure. This is kind of new, but that is a little striking. But then Kyle saying, your form of believer, one, there's not a perfect ride with FSD beta. You're having an intervention with the car somewhere along the way. It sounds like both of y'all in any kind of situation, and it's like, so far.
How do you measure if interventions are a good drive? Because everyone will have a different opinion as to what's acceptable. When do you take over? So the first thing I read is when I see a zero disengagement drive online, I just ignore that. Because I'm like, there needs to be a measure as to what a successful drive is using the system. And I think it's like, how many people looked at you and went, oh my God, you suck at driving? I saw a Model Y today that was like dented up on every corner. And I was like, I totally see why, because you suck at driving. And I was like, I think that's how people feel when I drive on FSD, even with the new one a little bit.
Maybe. Okay. So my question comes to pricing then, right? So pricing has changed over time. It's like $12,000 now. You can do like a $200 a month subscription, and you can try it for a month as well. Get a month long trial. Okay. So basically Kyle, you're like, now I'm interested in it. But you weren't like, I get why someone would pay for this. Like, it's totally worth it. So what is y'all's opinion about that price point? And if it's worth it from what you've experienced from FSD beta version
12.3.3? So I was talking about this with Brandon and Tesla Flex actually on Saturday after driving Colton's Model 3 V12. and we agreed on $8,000 is now justifiable. I would still say $5,000 is like the, you know, the perfect middle way. $5,000, you know, for a good working V12. Sure, yeah. But not more than $8,000. Like everything over $8,000 is, it's just too much. Yeah.
Yeah, because we have to base it off what's available today and what people are experiencing it. Too many people have gotten burned by Tesla's future promise and have bought into that and spent their own money. And that's just, you should buy what's on the market, what you can have today. And what V12, the experience it gives me today is a $5,000 experience of this is really interesting and really cool. And I love playing around with it. It is not $12,000. What I will probably do is subscribe. I used to subscribe on my Model S. I'll probably resubscribe on my Model S or my Model 3 after this. And I actually think the $200 a month is pretty reasonable, $199 a month for this. But I think more important than the cost is actually the base software that's running this, Francie, because it's an entirely different software stack controlling version 12.
Okay, tell me more.
Andreas can explain more.
Andreas, please.
So V11 is essentially just a perception, planning, and control kind of system, right? So for instance, you come up to a stop sign, it recognizes the stop sign, then it executes some code. Okay, I have to wait for 2 seconds and then keep going. There was also code for like how to drive around the roundabout, right? With V12, Tesla scrapped everything and they moved on to an end-to-end system. So photons in, right, whatever the cameras see, and then steering acceleration as the output, right? So they essentially had a complete re-architecture of the entire FSD system. I should add, I'm not a neural net expert. I'm not a self-driving car software expert, but you know, that's how what I understand so far and what others have said too, right? Omar, Dirty Tesla, and so on. Yeah. If you want to know more about the details of the differences, again, I think we can refer back to your episode with Chris. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. But yeah, So that's basically the difference, yeah, from code-based to neural net-based.
And it drives like that too. It no longer drives like I'm following a list of instructions. It now drives mm-hmm. like I'm figuring out a situation in real time. Mm-hmm. And to me, that even if it does mess up, it messes up more gracefully. It now feels, like I said, much more human-like. It's now usable for me. I really do like all of this. And I think we're going to see rapid improvement with this new base software. What I think is hilarious is all of the people that were like, you got to take over and train the system. And it's the more you drive, the more it learns. And they just threw that away. Yep. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Really, I mean, what the heck? People that think their one car is making a difference is crazy. But ultimately, I am so excited for this new version. I'm using it a bunch. I mean, I think it's crazy how it's so good that I'm driving down the road. I was just by myself the other day commuting to the office, and I'm just going, wow, whoa, no way. And I'm just sitting there by myself and it's doing these things.
Yeah. Never would have thought it.
It makes me wonder a little bit about insurance. Do you think having full, if like, you know, we're picturing the future of this, that it should make your insurance go up or make your insurance costs go down? Having
currently,
something like,
it should go up, but in the future, it should go down. Right now, it's still good enough where it can maybe lull you into a false sense of security and then just completely drive down the wrong side of the road or do something crazy. So I would definitely say it should not lower insurance rates now. If anything, I'm kind of curious to see how this 1 month of every Tesla owner on FSD is going to be going.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just won't turn it on. They won't even know that it's a thing.
Mm. Yeah. My friend was actually scared. She's up in Canada, got the trial. And perfect example, you know, never tried it, no experience, no training. And the car was doing some very scary scenario and she was scared and didn't use it anymore. It was like, Andreas, can I call you? So, you know, I don't know how many times that happened over the weekend with the free trial.
Yeah, it can be enough to spook you, you know. And I heard, I was reading about some things about like the dimensions of the different Teslas because the X and Y are larger than the, you know, S and 3 and how that might affect things. Maybe some curbs, you know, that you might be curbing your wheels or whatever. But generally, have y'all been looking that the opinions are just across the board, like no general one opinion, but everyone's having different experiences. I mean, we're highlighting two pretty different experiences right here.
I've gone through the Tesla subreddit, and even there's more experiences what I've experienced, you know, just the normal drivers, the non-YouTuber FSD drivers. I mean, not saying they're biased, right, on YouTube, because we can watch the cars drive, right? It's amazing. And it also behaves better in California, for instance, right? But yeah, on Reddit, I get more the experiences I've had. So yeah, I'm sure there's like a wide spread.
So a lot more people agree with you than me, which is really, I have not taken my car out of town yet, to be honest. So I'm really curious to see how that goes, but I will say my experience in Fort Collins was pretty mind blowing.
That's pretty cool. And they're going to be doing updates to this. Did I read like every 2 weeks or something?
Even more.
But I think the rate of improvement will definitely increase, because now they can just, you know, let's take an example of like my slowdown scenario, right? Like what I described earlier, they can just take clips of cars slowing down gradually, train the system to make the car adopt human-like. This kind of behavior. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the hard acceleration is another thing. They should just be like, don't floor it at every light, because my car is just pulling away. Yeah. All the time. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy.
Some if then like statements, right?
You like that, but maybe in your rear wheel drive, it's slower than my performance, because I'm freaking ripping everywhere.
Then you get the Tesla experience, you know, the EV experience of launching. Isn't that why the performance driving, why a lot of people want their electric vehicles? Now, I think you should be in charge at that point. No, agreed. It's not just this rocketing from a stoplight in your small town where everyone drives 30 miles per hour naturally. Well, it seems pretty fun. I guess the updates will continue to happen. We'll see how, you know, close and closer or not that we get to autonomous driving. But obviously, we're not there. This is just another seemingly impressive, but also possibly disappointing update to the Tesla FSD beta. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks y'all for the update. I'll be sure to check back in. Andreas, you can take her on some more. Y'all just need to kind of switch places, try different places all around your areas and see how your impression goes. And
I'm going to do a video, an FSD video pretty soon, you know, just filming inside the car, sharing what I'm experiencing in real time. And I think, maybe Andreas can join and we can just talk about what the cars are doing. So could be kind of fun.
Sure. Sounds fun.
Super fun. Would love to do that. Can't wait till my VinFast gets the update. It'll be great. okay, it folks.
It starts with a B. I know. If anyone from Tesla is watching, I just want basic autopilot on my Cybertruck, please. It's annoying.
I do think that is pretty annoying too. Like such an equipped system with FSD and then no autopilot on another one.
I don't have anything. Yeah.
Wasn't there news that's coming actually?
They've been saying it's coming forever. Is it finally coming now?
Don't quote me on that, but I think
I thought it was an April Fool's thing. What I saw.
Oh, maybe that was it.
Yeah. I know.
They got me.
Yeah, they might have gotten you, Andreas. We'll have to double check that, but we'll check in with y'all as you know things come out and things change. So good luck with your driving. Pay attention. Don't abuse it. Be careful. But I guess have fun too. See what this cool technology is doing. And let us know in the comments if you have the update and what you have thought. Are you more along the Kyle, just the absolute lover of FSD, or a little speculative, a little skeptical still with Andreas? Let us know.
I'm curious.
Yeah, super curious. And we will catch you next time on the next episode. Thanks again, Andreas, for joining us. Drive safe. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.